Okay, and so now I guess we're to the time where Pastor Shannon will call her up. We'll just pray for her. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Pastor Shannon, Lord, for her faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for the word she prepared to bring to us, Lord, that it brings life and light, and everything we do just honors you. In Jesus' name, amen.
There we go. All right. Oop, that one caught. There we go. Can you hear me now? That's good. Good morning to you all. Well, we've started out with a great morning. Sorry, I'm going to put my Bible here and get it when I need it. And how is everybody doing? Blessed and highly favored. That is good. It's what we like to hear. And did you enjoy your Sunday school class this morning? Awesome. That's great. For those of you that attended, that's awesome. Now, there you go. And this morning, let's see if I can get this to, I think we need to put the mouse over onto the, is it? There, oops, okay, it just takes a. Here's a message title, The Surpassing Worth of Knowing Jesus Christ. And that is from Philippians 3. And that is our main scripture today. We're going to start by reading it. But whatever were gained to me, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes by it from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus, in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is based on faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his suffering, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Now, I'm going to finish that scripture, go on to 12 to 16 at the end of the message this morning. Well, we're just coming out of the Easter season. Or, you know what, we really never do come out of it, do we? It might be a time we buy ham or turkey or whatever and celebrate it, but we continually live on this side of the resurrection of Jesus rising from the grave. We are on this side of it, and we know the hope that he has called us to. Now, when we're looking at this scripture, the Apostle Paul shares something extraordinary. He says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And the word that was shared with us this morning, are we willing to lay it all down, to give it all up, to follow Jesus? And of course, what if he asked you to sell your house and move to the outer reaches of Mongolia? I'm not saying he's asking you to do that. But are we willing to surrender, to know him? Are we willing to surrender? Now, let's talk about that knowing the Lord. That word is, and I'm going to mispronounce it, it's a Greek word, kenosis. It means to learn, to know, to come to know, to get the knowledge up, to perceive, to feel, to understand, and to absolutely know, like husband and wife, that connectiveness, that one flesh, that coming together. And because there are no young children here, I'll call it. It's a relationship to the idea of intercourse. Okay? That close. Paul is saying, I want to absolutely know Christ to every ability that is in me to know him. To every part of me that's in him to know him. That's body, soul, and spirit. You know, God created us. And he also created everything that's about us to be used to get to know him. Body, soul, and spirit. And knowing him isn't just like knowing about him or knowing about somebody, but knowing him with every sensory capacity that is in you, your intellect, your emotions, your heart, physically experiencing him. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Smell the fragrance of the Lord. And how many of you have ever felt the touch of the Lord in your life? Yeah. How many of you, well, I'm going to say, if you were here this morning, if you were here last week, you felt, I hope you felt the presence of the Lord. It was sweet. He says, I'm with you always. His Holy Spirit, he has poured out on all flesh. I will never leave you or forsake you. And when we allow ourselves to believe that it's possible that we can feel his presence, you'll be feeling his presence. I want to talk a little bit about last week, how sweet last week was, and how precious that time with Wendy was, going down in the waters of baptism and coming back up and recognizing that old life is gone and the new life and Jesus rising again to the new life, recognizing what Jesus has done in her life. And this morning we're going to do something similar in as we come to the communion table. There's kind of, we call them, you know, the three ordinances, if you want to, or whatever that we do. We do baptisms, we do communion, and we do, which is part of that, yeah, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we do weddings and funerals, the covenant and that type of thing. But baptism and communion are sweet times. And so this morning, I hope you're preparing your hearts and your minds for that sweet time with the Lord. And that's what Paul is talking about here, that coming to know Christ, that surpassing knowing anything else. It's so much more, so much greater. It does so much more for us. Now, here's a question for you. What is the significance for us today of Jesus rising from the dead? I'm thinking about that. Maybe I'll get this one to move on. I'm not sure. Can we go to the next slide, Rebecca? It's not moving for me, so there it is. Oops. What is the significance for you and I, for God raising Jesus from the dead? From Romans 4:25, he was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised again to life for our justification. So I read a little illustration about it that I thought this is perfect in helping us understand exactly what that means. So first of all, let's use your imagination and say you move to a foreign country. And you've lived there a little while, but you're not really familiar with everything, and you're learning to live there. But one day, you're hauled off because you've broken one of the major rules of the land, whether you knew about it or it was or not, you still broke it. And you're brought before the leader of the country, and you're begging him for mercy, and you say, and he says to you, look it, a rule is a rule. I cannot bend it for you. And because that, first of all, it would be unjust, and it would affect my integrity. However, if you can find someone else to take your punishment and complete the 3 months in jail for you, I will allow that, and that will clear your crime. So, by the grace of God, someone is willing to be your substitute. They go to prison for you on your behalf, and you don't see them. Several months passes by. Okay? Now, here's the thing. When will you absolutely know that your punishment has been fully paid for and that you can rest from that crime. When you see him again, when your substitute, the one who took your punishment, walks free again. When you see them out of prison, you'll know that the sentence has been fully served and that you're now justified and no one can bring a charge against you for that crime any longer. You no longer have to be afraid of anyone coming, though some might accuse you, but it's already been paid for because the one who was punished in your place is now walking free. So now think about it. Jesus, our substitute, paid your debt, the one you could not pay. He took it to the cross. He bore all of your sins for your entire life, your past, your present, and the future ones you might commit. God put it all on Jesus. Thank you. And he bore all the punishment for every single one of those sins until God was fully satisfied. He went to the grave for you. He went to hell in our place. And the Father was so pleased with what he did that he raised him from the dead. And Jesus, who had held on to every promise the Father had spoken to every Old Testament prophet saying that he would rise again. He held on to that faith, and by faith, that he would rise again. Now think about that. Every time. I think we have an issue. Okay. Every time you see that empty tomb, that empty prison, you know with full assurance that you've been justified. Every time you see and know that Jesus is walking free, you again have that full assurance. You no longer have to be afraid of God judging you for any of your sins because Jesus paid the price fully. He paid the penalty permanently for you. So no matter how bad or how evil you think of yourself, no matter what you have done or how you have lived, it does not put you out of the reach of God. There is nothing that he can't redeem you from. He is God and he is amazing. And it's amazing how he takes the worst and creates the most amazing transformations. And if he can do it for the worst, he can do it for those that aren't the worst, but still have sin. Amen? How many amazing testimonies have you heard about God taking someone at their worst and transforming them and their lives? It's amazing. My Apostle Paul again states, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. Paul's saying, I want to experience the resurrection of Jesus. What does that mean? Was he free? Paul says, I want to experience what he died to give me, that freedom, that absolute assurance. I want to experience that. I want to experience the resurrection power in every part of my being, knowing him as completely as I can in every part of my being, my mind, my will, my emotions, my heart, my spirit, my physical being, in every part of me. We're going to go to Ephesians. Oops. Sorry, that was Philippians I just read. We're going to go to Ephesians. I keep asking, this is Paul's prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same power as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand at his right hand in heavenly realms. So we're going to just break that down. Now, there's a whole lot more to that prayer that Paul has, but let's break down. There's three main things he speaks of there. First, he prays to the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better, to know him more. Sorry, I'm going to cough here. To know him more. That knowing him in revelation. I'm not just talking about the book, but a revelation of him. Oh, how many of you know that we're never going to stop learning about God, even in eternity? We're going to keep learning revelation after revelation about who he is. Excuse me a minute. The wisdom. Oh, my goodness. How to walk in this earth in the goodness of God. And his ways that are higher than our ways. This is Paul's prayer. I want you to know, to experience, again, that fullness of Christ in knowing the wisdom and revelation. Next, he talks about he wants the eyes of our heart to be enlightened in order that we may know the hope we're called to. And that's in Proverbs. And I think I've got it wrong. I think it's Proverbs 4:23, but I could be a little off. Talks about out of our hearts flow the issues of life. Don't quote me on the address, but you can quote me on the context. Out of our hearts flow the issues of life, and so. Paul is saying, I want there to be revelation, an enlightening in your heart. You know, when you shine a light on something, you can expose both good and bad, right? And one of the things that we sometimes we're a little afraid to let that enlightenment come, that lighting come, because we don't want to see what's in there exposed. But there's nothing more wonderful than when the Lord comes in to those places, you know, you know that we are running the Celebrate Recovery program, and we talk about our hurts, our hang-ups, and our habits. Your hurts create hang-ups, which eventually create habits, and we're not talking good habits. But he comes in to reveal and to heal. And when we hold on to those things, they prevent us from experiencing Christ in his fullness, because his fullness means I want to come in and heal those things. I want you to have enlightenment to know, so you can know the hope. If you're hanging on to things that are hopeless, how can you know the hope? But if you can let them go, if he can bring light and help you let them go, what is the hope to which he has called us to? Well, move on. That is part of number three. To know the hope he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in you. Do you know the inheritance that you are partaking with Jesus? Do you have a revelation of it? It's glorious. And in you is also this other thing. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit in you. The power of the Holy Spirit in Christ that raised him from the dead. That same Spirit in you. And it's now working in us. Do you have a revelation of that? And that's what Paul is praying here. That we may know. That we may have the revelation. That we may be enlightened. That we can get involved in this amazing inheritance we have, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that's working in us, and it raised Christ from the dead, what can he do in us? We start by renewing our minds. We can all quote this. It's kind of one of my favorite verses. It's in a sense of it's a reminder. What is coming out of my, what am I putting into my mind? What am I putting into my brain? What am I putting before my eyes? What am I establishing in my heart? Because what I put into my mind eventually ends up in my heart. Here's our thing. Information plus emotions equals something getting written on your heart, good or bad. But if we take the word of God and get that in there, it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Let's stop there for a minute. Do not be conformed to the patterns. How many of you have heard says, oh, we've got to talk about what's happened in history so we don't repeat it? How many times does it get repeated anyway? They're the patterns of the world. It's the pattern of sin, the pattern of mankind. And let's put it, face it, the other pattern of it is the evil one, our enemy, the devil. He isn't an original. But you know what the other thing is? He knows what works to get us caught into. And the first thing that he knows, if he can get us feeling really confident, sorry, just let me, my earpiece is popping off here. If he can get us feeling confident in our own self and our own understanding, that pattern of the world, thinking like the world thinks, thinking like man thinks, my understanding is better than God's understanding. What does God know? He should ask me. And we get caught up into that. And then there's this thing out there, you know, you do you and I'll do me. That idea of whatever works, you know, however I want to live is okay and however you want to live is okay, except if what I'm doing offends you and what you're doing offends me, and then we just end up with chaos. And we say it's okay because we're being tolerant of one another. It doesn't work. The patterns of this world. And God says this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, he tells us to take every thought captive and make it obedient to his word, to Christ, the living word, that we may test and approve God's will and his good and pleasing and perfect will. Sorry, think on this. Think on the resurrection life that you now have with Christ. Take a moment to think on that. To know that you want to press in to learn more about him, to know him, to come to know him even greater, to perceive him and to feel him and to understand him, to absolutely know him. And Paul, he's saying, I want to do this. This is Paul. Paul who knows Jesus. Paul who knows about Christ. Paul who's experienced him. Paul who's walked in the amazing power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, but I want to get to know him more. But he also says this, you know, everything about my past life isn't worth it if it means I can't know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He says, I want to experience it in every part of my being. I want to experience him in every part of my being. I want that same power that raised Christ from the dead working in me. And though we're not going to have time this morning, in fact, we're going to look at it next week, we're going to talk about sharing in his suffering, which Paul talks about. I want to know the power of his resurrection and participate in the fellowship of his suffering. And like I said, we don't have time to go completely into that this week. We're going to look at that next week because it's really cool. And becoming like him in death is what Paul says. I want to participate in his fellowship of his suffering, becoming like him in his death. So what are we looking at here today? That word, fellowship, participating in the fellowship with Jesus, the fellowship of his suffering. That word fellowship or participation means, it's the word koinonia. It means community. And it's where we get the word communion from. It means that we share something in common. So as believers, we come to the communion table to share something we have in common. And who is it that we have in common? Jesus Christ. And we have come to have something in common with God. And that is where we meet with God. And you know where we meet with God? That meeting place is in Christ. Take and think of that a minute. We meet with God in Christ. He's our meeting place. So what are the things that we have in common with Jesus? Well, we died with him. As a believer, you died with him. And here's the other thing. You rose with him. Born again. That's right. You rose with him. And now you're seated with him. Where? In heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. This is what you have in common with him. And then we've talked, again, we haven't talked much. We share his inheritance. What do you have in common with him? You have his death, burial, resurrection to that new life, born again. You are now seated with him in heavenly places, and you share in his inheritance. So here we are, we're about to take communion. And in taking communion, and so let's uncover everything and we'll get push them out and get ready to do this. In taking communion, it's about remembering who? It's about remembering Jesus. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of all the sins you've committed and how bad you are. Did anybody have that version of the Bible? But it's quite often when we come to communion that that's what we're called to do. You need to sit and take account of yourself. No, you're not. You're to sit and take account of what Jesus did in spite of yourself. It is a finished work. And we're coming to communion table to what we have in common with Jesus, remembering the old life is gone and the new life has come. I have been born again. That old life died, like we saw last week in the waters of baptism. Down, the old life died, but we're raised again to the new life. We're excited about what Jesus has done. We're somebody new. We're alive. Kingdom comes through us now as sons. All creation is waiting for the sons of God to be made manifest. And when we come to communion table, we're remembering Jesus. We're looking at his blood and his body, the blood that was poured out that I'm going to connect with this morning. I'm going to connect with that, remembering and letting my life and my thoughts wrap around that because of his blood, I've been made clean from all unrighteousness. All of my sins. Because of his blood, I've been made righteous. I've been made holy. My sin is gone. It's not just covered up, it's gone. And as we come to the communion table, what we have in common with Jesus, and what he did by his blood. And then when you take the bread, you want to take it saying, I want to know and experience and feel what Jesus' body was broken to give me. His body broken so that mine doesn't have to be. He bore in his body my sickness, my sin, my brokenness, so I don't have to. So I'm going to ask you to come now and pick up the cup and the bread and just take it back to your seats, and we'll participate in it together. Paul said, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. This morning, as we prepare to take communion here, that surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, of what we now have in common with him because of his blood, because of his broken body, I'm going to ask you just to take a moment and allow yourself to think about that, to know that surpassing worth of Christ, of knowing him, and remembering his shed blood, his broken body that set you free, that he was the substitute, who is now risen again to set you free, that you can be assured of your freedom in Christ. Take a moment. And so, Father, we come before you and we thank you for the amazing love that you had for us, that you sent your son, Jesus. And Jesus, we recognize that on the night you were betrayed, you took the bread and you broke it to show us how you were going to pay our debt of sin and shame, taking the curse of the broken law upon yourself for us. Let us eat. And in the same way, Lord, you took the cup and you declared a new covenant in your blood for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, we give you thanks and praise. In your name we pray. Thank you, Lord. We have fellowship with him, the resurrected Lord, who has paid the price and set us free, that we can say we are free indeed. And as we sang this morning, I'm no longer afraid because my chains have been broken. Amen. Amen. So I want to end this morning, maybe, maybe not. Is there another slide, Rebecca? Okay. It's okay. I think I had made the decision that I would just read it. Philippians 4, verses 12 to 16. Paul says, after he's talked about all of this wonderful knowing Christ, he says, not that I've already obtained it, or have already arrived at my goal. How many of you feel that way? I haven't obtained all that you just talked about, Pastor. I haven't arrived there. But he says, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it all. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind me and straining towards what's ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let's live up to what we have already obtained. Amen? Live up to what you've already obtained, but keep pressing on. Why don't you stand with me, and I'm going to share the benediction over you this morning. And we'll just head out from here and have a blessed week. Amen? Amen. Amen. Woo! Yes. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. So be it. Bless you guys. Have a fabulous week. And remember, knowing Christ is far greater than anything else that comes your way. Amen? All right. Bless you guys. And we'll see some of you this week and some of you next Sunday.